Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ole Miss Baseball's Judd Udermark welcomes you to Judd U, an Ole Miss podcast brought to you by the Ole Miss Spirit and Riverland Roofing.
Welcome to Judd U Podcast. I'm Judd. Today we have a very special guest. His name is Connor Spencer. How are we doing, Connor Spencer?
Great, Judd Udermark.
Man, I've been wanting to get him on the podcast for the longest time. Today we're going to do a little drive-through. This podcast is presented by Riverland Roofing and the Ole Miss Spirit. Guys, we're here today with number 22, the man himself. Might be the oldest man in the SEC.
Potentially.
Have we fact-checked that?
We haven't, but I have heard rumors.
Yes.
And I know it's close.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, yeah. Connor Spencer played a big role in our team last year. He was our... He was our closer. You know, we'd put him in whenever we were up by one, two, three runs. And we basically knew that we'd have a win. And I think that's kind of what you're shooting for this year, right? What you're on track for?
Yeah. I would love to build off of what I did last year. You know, I felt like even though we didn't have the greatest season as a team, you know, we did win those tight games, especially whenever we had a lead. I heard somewhere there on the broadcast, it was like, we were 9-0 with a lead in the ninth. Nobody had walked us off until the SEC tournament.
Yeah. Well, that was like a heartbreaker.
That was.
But that is kind of, I think that's a big part of the game that a lot of people don't understand is you always think about the comebacks when it comes to the big games or the, you know, the games that you blow a team out by 15 runs,
right.
But it's really the close games that matter. And that's what kind of gets you to the postseason and gives you a shot to win it all.
Yeah.
You kind of look at the national championship team. They were really good at that, getting a lead early and keeping that lead. And you need guys like yourself, guys like Waters this year who are going to come in and, you know, they're going to keep the game in our favor, keep it in our lead. And I want you to talk a little bit about that as a pitcher, you know. It's really hard to be lights out as a pitcher. You have to be very dominant.
Right.
You know, because a lot of times hitters get the spotlight and even the starters get the spotlight. How do you make it every night in and out, you know, this is the most important thing on my mind right now? You know, because you could be sitting for eight innings and then come in at the last 10 minutes of the game.
Right, yeah. I would say for me it's 100% mindset.
Yeah.
I have a routine that I stick to, and that's whether I pitch or don't pitch. I don't break from that routine. I would actually get crap for it because, you know, if we were up by 10 runs in the fifth inning, you know, my routine is still go down to the bullpen.
Yeah.
And so I have, you know, no chance of pitching that day, but I'll still go to the bullpen. I'll still sit there and kind of be around the mound and just kind of not – take myself out of the game until the game's over.
Yeah.
Which is something that I kind of struggled to do early in my college career. If it was a tight game or if we were getting blown out and I didn't think that we would come back, then I'd kind of take myself out of the game mentally. And
yeah.
It really came back to bite me in one outing that I've talked about to a lot of people before. Just, we were down by like 6 runs in the top of the ninth when I was at Northwest. And I was in the bullpen, and we played double headers, and so this is game one. So I'm just kind of getting ready to pitch game two. Dude, we put up 7 with 2 outs.
Oh man!
And the guy after we put up 7 punched out on 3 pitches, and it was like, hey, you got 8 warm ups, like go into the game.
Yeah.
And I was not mentally ready at all, and that was the worst outing in my opinion ever in my career. I couldn't find the strike zone. I was trying to do too much. Like I should just go and play, but. At the same time, like, you know, one of my favorite outings from last year was the Texas A&M outing, or even the South Carolina outing. Like, I stayed locked in the whole game.
Yeah.
And whenever it came down.
When your number gets called.
Right, yeah. And so whenever I'm getting, hey, here's the ball, like, go get them. Mm-hmm. Even though they're the number three team in the country, like, I've already won the game in my mind.
Yeah. You know, you talked about that outing earlier in your career before you got to Ole Miss. Give me a little backstory on your whole career. Yeah, where are you from? The colleges you've been to, you know, what got you to Ole Miss? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I grew up in Hernando, Mississippi, which is an hour north of Oxford. Mm-hmm. I grew up an Ole Miss fan. Honestly, never thought I'd play here, to be quite frank. Out of high school, I had three junior college offers, and I chose to go as far away from home as possible just to test the waters and see if I could, you know, survive without having, like, right under my parents. So I go to Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College in 2019, the fall of 2019. And I go there as a hitter. I don't pitch.
Really?
Yeah, I was a four-hole hitter.
Okay.
Four-hole hitter, big left.
What position?
Right field.
Okay.
Yeah. Throw it real hard and go hit the ball.
That's right.
So I did that my freshman year. I solidified a spot in 3-4 hole. And I think I led the team in home runs. But it was 14 games, like. You know, season got cut short due to COVID.
Yeah.
And with the COVID break happening, I completely messed myself up and I didn't practice as hard as I should have. I slacked off. I took it as like a vacation instead of like an opportunity to get a step up.
Yeah.
And whenever I came back for my sophomore year, I wasn't hitting as well because I didn't take the reps that I should have.
Yeah.
And I didn't take care of my arm and I blew my UCL out in the fall.
Gotcha.
And that kind of like... self-realization of, hey, like, if I don't take care of my body, like, baseball will punish me.
Yeah.
And it felt like I deserved it, and you know, it sucked. And so I remember right before the surgery, I had to make a choice of, you know, whether or not I was going to continue playing baseball.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not a cheap surgery.
Not at all.
School can only pay for so much of it. And so I decided that, you know, after this surgery, like, I'm giving everything I have to baseball. Like, I'm never going to take a rep off, never going to take a day off, like, I'm going to go at it as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to rehab closer to home, so I transferred from Gulf Coast to Northwest Community College, where in the fall I was just rehabbing, so I didn't really get to pitch.
Yeah.
And I'd already graduated from junior college, so I couldn't take classes. And so I literally just come to practice every day. I would drive from Hernando to Senatobia every day and just go to practice, and I loved it. Played there in the spring. Started off as a hitter.
Yep.
Hit really well in the fall. I didn't strike out once in the fall. I'm proud of that.
Now you do the striking out.
Yeah, I did now, yeah. In the spring, I struck out. I think I went like 0 for 25 with 20 Ks.
Hmm.
That was a bad, bad start. And I remember one game, I was so mad that I was doing so bad at the plate. I was so mad. I walked up to the pitching coach. And I still talk to Carlene today. Like, he's pinned in my text messages. Like, love the guy. I walked up to him. I said, "Coach Carlene, I will never tell you how to run this team ever, but you have to put me in this game. Like, I have to show you that I do not suck at baseball." And I go in, and I'm pretty sure that was the first time I'd ever hit 95. There's no radar gun, but I was blowing guys' doors off.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, like, this is different. And then we come home. We come back home for a home series, and I close the first game, and I get up to 94, so I PR'd, like lifetime PR, a physical number. And then I closed the second game as well, so I closed both of the doubleheader games and
Lord.
Hit 96 in the second
game. No way.
Yeah, and I was like, dude. And they're like, yeah, you're just going to do that.
So, you're like, thank goodness, get the bat out of my hand.
So, yeah, I stopped. They did let me hit BP for the rest of the year, so it just turned into how far can I hit the ball. But, so I was at Northwest, and then after that season, I really wanted to go, you know, I was getting recruited by Mississippi State about halfway through, and that's when I had the Itawamba outing.
Mm-hmm.
State
came
to that game. So I blew my chances of going there, which worked out.
Yeah.
And, I got picked up by Southeastern Louisiana, school in Hammond, Louisiana. It's mid-major, and I went down there, and I fell in love with the place. And one of the things I compared it to was, it was if you had Oxford and condensed it to a really small town. Like, it's a big baseball town. Mm-hmm. They love
the
game. They care about the school.
Yep.
And it was something that I just fell in love with as soon as I walked onto campus. And so I go there, and I play. And they promised a guy from the year before the closing role, because they picked me up as a closer. And so we kind of go back and forth. And I remember my first ever collegiate or Division I save was against a school in New York. Lafayette.
Okay.
It was like a school up north. And I think it was Lafayette. It was some L and they were red. I can't remember. But
yeah.
I hit 97 for the first time that game. I punched out the side on I punched out the side on 10 pitches. I have the video. It should have been an immaculate inning. The dude went around and the umpire said he did not. And
you always have that.
That was an immaculate inning, dude, I swear. So I punched out the side on 10 pitches, hit 97 on the last pitch. And I was like, dude, like, I got to have some real success, like, at the Division I level. And, you know, that's kind of something you're not sure of.
Especially it being your first save.
Right, yeah. And so, you know, that kind of opened up some doors for me throughout the year to come in big spots. And, you know, I think I only had three saves when I was at Southeastern. You know, I think we finished 25-25 at the end of the year. And my whole coaching staff got fired. Like, I had no intentions of entering the transfer portal or anything. Coach's staff gets fired, and I was like, dude, well, I got to put my name out there. And one of the things that I've told you about was we played LSU that year.
Yeah.
And I got to face the top of their lineup. And so the
– Which – what year was this? This was 2020.
This was the year they won the national championship.
So this was 2022.
Yes, 2022. And so the first guy I faced was leadoff guy, right? Yeah, I can't remember who it was. Struck him out on like three pitches.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm him.
Yeah.
And then Trey Morgan gets up. I throw him a terrible changeup. No reason throwing it. Ball. And then he grounds out. I got two outs, and I got Dylan Cruz, who was like batting a million. And I was like, dude, I want to punch Dylan.
He may have been batting around 500.
Yeah, he was.
At that point.
Yeah, he was. He was batting over 500. And so he puts up a good at bat.
Yep.
Per usual. And he ends up getting a hit, and then I face Tommy White, give up a longer hit, and then I face their shortstop, whoever their shortstop was that year.
Which would have been...
Skinnier guy.
Thompson.
Yeah, Thompson. I faced him and struck him out. And then whenever Dylan Cruz came back into the dugout, he walked up to their head coach, who I think was... Jay Johnson?
Yeah, who's Jay Johnson?
Jay Johnson, and goes, this guy's got the best fastball I've seen all year. Yeah. This is like, you know, in my mind, I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. But like thinking about it, like, this dude's hitting 500 in the SEC. And so for him to say that about me, like, it's an extreme compliment to me. And so whenever I put my name in the portal after the season, LSU reached out, and Wes Johnson went to Georgia, and Georgia reached out, and Oklahoma reached out. And then we actually have a family friend who knows Lafferty.
Okay.
And called him and was like, hey, like, got this kid in the transfer portal. Like, like, it'd be really cool if you could, you know, just, like, look at him. And Laff goes, we were just watching video of him 5 minutes ago.
No way.
So, yeah, so then
oh, that's super cool.
Me. Yeah, and then Laff called me, and he called me, and we talked on the phone, and I told him that, you know, I had some other options, and I wanted to kind of think about it. I didn't want to make a decision based off my emotions. I wanted to make the right decision.
Yeah.
And after about 2 days, I called him back, and I was like, yeah, like, I want to be a Rebel. And he was, you know, super fired up. And then, you know, got here in the fall. And after pitching all spring, all summer, getting here in the fall, my arm was just, like, gassed.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it. And so I struggled big time in the fall. Judd, actually my first at-bat ever in the SEC, hit a 0-2 bomb that I don't think has landed yet. That happened about a year ago. And that was kind of like a wake up of like, holy crap, like, these guys can hit the fastball. And so we started trying to develop another pitch. And even though my velo was down, like, you know, we kind of started building back up. I got a little break over the winter and came back, and I was back to my normal self.
Yeah, and it showed.
Yeah, and it was like, that's who I am, like, in my mind. And so, like, whenever y'all saw me,
mm-hmm.
it was like, dude, like, this isn't who I am. Like, this is, I don't know what this is. Like, this isn't who I am.
Yeah.
Come back in the spring and right back, you know, 94, 96, like, hit 97, you know, good heater, good slider. I was like, all right, like, this is the Connor Spencer that got recruited here.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I think part of that could, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it happens to a lot of people when there's like a big change. You coming from the other schools that you came from, and then you come to Ole Miss, school that you've dreamed of.
Yeah.
And it's almost like I knew I had it, you know, I had Owen Pano on last podcast, and I bragged on him how he's adjusted to it, how he's
right.
taken, you know, that mindset that he has, and it's been unwavering.
Right.
And I think if, you know, this is a shout out to everybody who's an aspiring athlete, you know, especially baseball, like it's going to be tough. And Connor Spencer is the perfect way to, you know, use failure to success. Cause like he was saying, you know, that first fall was,
and
I know that you were frustrated, and I know that everybody was rooting for you, but then he used that as fire. He used that as fuel. And then obviously you saw what it was last year. Obviously, you know, the team, we wish we had a better year, but if we're looking individually at you, you had a great year. You know, and there's room for improvement. I think you'd be the first one to say that. But
right.
I think this year's going to be amazing.
And yeah, that leads me to better.
Yeah, that leads me.
As a collective.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that leads me, like, to part of it. Obviously, and I've asked everybody this question. Name, you know, a few things that we have this year with this team that we didn't have, I guess, for you last
right.
year. You know,
so
what's the biggest difference you've seen?
Yeah, I think a big part of it is just like, and this is gonna sound like kind of vague, but it's like the air in the locker room. Like
yep.
you walk in and it's just a different.
Yeah.
Like it feels different whenever you walk in there. And I don't know if it's because I'm returning. You know, I'm. Mm-hmm. They look at me as an older guy, as a guy with, you know, like, hey, you know, he isn't brand new here. Like he's
yeah.
kind of
well, leader.
So, yeah. Like they look at me as a leader, and it's like I feel like I have an impact on the people around me. Where last year it was like kind of I was fending for myself,
mm-hmm.
and other people, like there was, I think Burf did a great job of being the leader he was with the athletes or with the teammates that he had.
Yeah,
I don't think we were the best team as like teammate wise. I don't mm-hmm. think we were the best team last year. We had a lot of clicks.
Yeah,
and it was kind of, you know, it was kind of like here and there. Like if people weren't in your clique, you didn't really talk to them. And like this year, I feel like everyone's friends with everyone.
Yeah.
Like there isn't.
It feels more like a team this
right.
year.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like one of those teams that you're going to look back in 20 years and be like, I enjoyed being around those guys
yeah.
and having that brotherhood.
Right.
I agree with you 100%. You know, I talked to Furness a couple podcasts ago. He talked about the pitching, about the, you know, how dominant it's been this fall in the inter squads.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about Coach Mangrum coming into the program. What has his impact been? What's his impact been on you as well?
Yeah, Joel's awesome. I remember the first time I called him Coach Mangrum, he reintroduced himself to me. Like, name's Joel.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All right, I got it. No, I mean, he's a guy that's like super easy to get along with. Like, if you mm-hmm. can't get along with him, like, it's not him.
Yeah.
Like, it's
yeah.
you. He's a guy that's going to push you. He likes to find out who you are and what type of person you are.
Mm-hmm.
Not a little bit by asking around, but most of the part by figuring out, like, himself.
Yeah.
And once he finds that out.
A lot of it comes with time.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
How much time he spends around with
you. Yeah, I mean, he spends tons of time with us. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always in there.
Yeah.
He's always in there just, I mean, helping guys with things. And it's super individualized. Like, everyone has their own thing. And he, like, makes sure that, hey, you know, like Hunter Elliott, he's doing his own thing, and Mason Nichols, hey, yours might be similar to Elliott, but this slight difference makes it yours.
Yeah, it's going to be personalized towards
you. It's 100% personalized.
Not everybody's the same pitcher.
Nobody's the same pitcher. Like, yeah. Everyone's different.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, I do things that are similar to other people, but, like, you know, physically, I'm bigger, and so, like, there is a little tweak that would help me more than somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And he's super, like, detail-oriented about it, and he kind of, he holds everyone accountable. And he not only holds other people accountable, he makes us, the older guys, hold everyone accountable.
Yeah.
He, like, challenges us to be a better leader, and he's constantly, like, asking, like, hey, like, how's it going? Like, do you see anything? You know, mm-hmm. like, do I need to say, like, is there anything that you need to tell me?
Always looking for feedback, for criticism, for anything that's going to help the team win. And he's coming from pro ball. A lot of times people's mindset is individual, right?
Yeah.
Selfish goals.
Right.
And I'm not talking about Coach Mangum here. I'm more talking about just players in general when you get there.
Yeah.
We had a talk in the summer about your future, about my future, about the team's future, what's it going to look like. And obviously having your draft year this year, being drafted by the Oakland A's, turning it down. Tell me, what was the mindset about that? Really tell the people, because I know the story as well.
Yeah, so, you know, I always thought that if I got drafted, I was going to take it regardless of what it was. Because, you know, playing at Major League Baseball has always been a dream of mine. Like, that's number one goal, is dream to go play professional baseball. And I've always seen it as soon as I can get into a system, I need to go do it.
Yep.
And meeting with Joel and talking to him about everything, and kind of getting a better idea of what pro ball looks like and what he's going to kind of bring to the table. During that draft process, like the 2 weeks prior to it, like, it was extremely stressful. You know, I was trying to figure out, you know, what my decision was going to be based on the circumstances provided.
Mm-hmm.
And what ended up happening, you know, I prayed a lot about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't say that it was chance or anything, because I know that God has a plan for everyone, and I know that he had a plan for me. And whenever it came down to making the decision to come back, it was quite literally one of the easiest decisions I've ever made.
Really?
It was so easy. Yeah. Because I had a set goal of what I wanted exactly. And I committed to, if it's not exactly within these parameters, I'm going back to school.
Yeah.
And not only was it, but like it was not even close. Like, it was, hey, the obvious answer is to come back to Ole Miss. And it wasn't just about, like, it's not about money. Baseball is not about money for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about how can I get to be the best player that I can be, which can be looked at in a selfish way. But also, like, I know that if I'm the best player that I can be, I can help you. I can help the team. I can help other people. Me not performing to the best of my ability hurts the team that I'm on.
Yeah.
Because I realize how talented I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that my talent isn't just for me, it's for me to help.
Yeah. It's really one piece of the puzzle.
Right.
And you can look at, you know, who's starting, who's not, who's playing, who's not. But it really is, and that's one thing that Coach B is, with his wisdom, and it's kind of put on us, is, listen, it's player over starter.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. We have that sign in our dugout that says player, and there's a line, and it says starter. Talking about the significance of, hey, we're all Ole Miss Rebels here.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't matter what your role is, whether you're the Friday night guy, whether you're the closer, or whether you're the shortstop batting three hole.
Right.
Right. There, everybody has to mesh together. And I'm glad that you brought up, you know, how this team is a little bit different, because that's really what you described, is the team chemistry.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a part of the Ole Miss Rebels.
Right.
Everybody wants to see a national championship come back to Oxford.
Yeah.
That's you know, the hardest thing is getting good guys.
Right.
And getting guys with chemistry and getting leaders on our team. And, you know, you played a big role in that. A lot of the returners and even some of the transfers and freshmen have played roles in that. So I'm excited to see it as well, man. Real quick, I want you to tell a funny story if you're fine with sharing it.
All right.
when you got the news that you got drafted to the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
Can you please tell me what you were doing in that exact moment?
Yeah.
Or tell the people, because I was there.
I'll walk you through it. So it's kind of an all-day affair, really. That morning I was playing golf with my dad, and I got a call from the Dodgers, a call from the Padres. I think those are the only two calls I got that morning. Maybe the Red Sox, but I can't quite remember. And I told them all, hey, you know, I went ahead and made my decision. I'm going back to school. So I'm thinking, like, that's it. Like, hey,
and
I tell.
You actually posted the night before on Instagram.
I posted the night before saying, hey, you know, I'm super thankful. Like, I get to come back to Ole Miss, you know, all this stuff. And so I come to the facility to throw. And we have a no phone policy in the locker room. So, you know, I put my phone in the cubby. And I run upstairs just to kind of play pool, like, hang out.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Like, the draft's still going on the TV. So go play pool, and then I go downstairs to get ready to go start throwing, and Ryan Rodriguez is in the training room, and he goes, dude, you just got drafted. I was like, what? No, I didn't. He goes, no, look, and turns his phone around and shows it to me, and says, Connor Spencer, Ole Miss, Oakland Athletics. I was like, oh, I guess I just got drafted. So yeah, I had to go call him back and be like, look, man, like, I appreciate it. Like, I have no idea how much
this is my dream.
Literally my dream, but I am going back to Ole Miss.
Well, that's good. Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that story.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Appreciate you guys tuning in, man. Thank you, Double Deuce, for, you know, coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. Thank you to Riverland Roofing and the Ole Miss Spirit for sponsoring this podcast, man. I had a blast today. Thanks for hopping
on. Good. Yeah, I like that.
We'll be back soon with another video. Y'all stay tuned. Make sure to subscribe, like this video, and see you soon. Peace.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.